welcome to the show, Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. You've been on the show a number of times before. I lost count after seven, but we're big fans. I know Captain Brett Bartlett is as well. You know, he's got books of yours laying around all over his, that's just one. he's got more, you know, so thank you so much for being on the show. Of course, Captain Bartlett retired from the Tampa Police Department with 32 years law enforcement experience. Cool. Hey, shout out to our sponsors, guys. We have Gulls, our title sponsor at Gulls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. And yes, we're on satellite radio right now. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And yes, thanks to them, we're streaming over a million followers right now on social media. And TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. So if you want cool gear, like the shirt I'm wearing, coffee mugs like the one behind me, go there. We don't charge anything extra. In fact, when I order the stuff, I do it this way. Ralph wants a coffee cup. He's holding his little styrofoam cup up too. But we don't charge anything extra for the gear. We're just trying to get our stuff out there. So we don't make a dime off of anything in the store. So check it out. And, you know, you may find something that you like. Also, FishOrlandoBass.com. Zach has got a bass fishing charter in Orlando, and it's right next to Disney. So look, when you're dropping the wife and the kids or the grandkids off at Disney World, you know, steer over and hook up with Zach at the bass fishing charter, FishOrlandoBass.com. Or if you're feeling more adventurous, you can do the Florida alligator hunting, where you catch and relocate the wild Florida alligator. It's a great opportunity. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaEP.com. Thanks for carrying our content. Brian, also Ray Dietrich with FormerLawman.com and our own Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And you need no introduction, Colonel. You know, your legend lives on, which is really great, because you're able to touch and reach a lot of people because of your background. So,
you know, it's funny. We say in On Spiritual Combat what our mission is. And
my book.
Boom. I don't know, the guys wrote that thing. And our mission is to love God and love people. And the way we do that is to, the Great Commission is our mission. But we do good deeds, Galatians 6:9, and give the honor and glory to God. And that's what you're talking about. And by giving the honor and glory to God, there all kinds of blessings come with that. If we seek the honor for ourselves, it will always be hollow. We give the honor to God, then he gives us love and joy and peace and all the blessings that come with it. And here on Christmas, as we're preparing for Christmas, as a couple of hard-nosed cops out here, I'd like for us to talk about what Christmas Day really means and some of the things we talk about in my books. We Christian Book Award finalists, Bulletproof Marriage. We can leverage our faith into our relationships, you know, but what does it really mean, Christmas Day? What's it mean to you all, and where can we take it?
Well, Christmas, you know, Christmas Day, obviously, a lot of people, you know, the younger generation, you know, I think we're at fault with just not, you know, making sure that the kids know it's more than just presents and Santa Claus, you know, but of course, it's a celebration of my Savior's birth, you're asking me, but it doesn't stop there, you know, because if Jesus wouldn't have been born, but then again, he had to die in order to make that sacrifice, because, you know, as you know, we're all flawed because we're human and we just can't get away from that sinful nature. So had it not, as bad as the death is, we have to embrace it and be glad that he was willing to die for that, because had it not been for that, we would be incapable of having that, the best gift ever possible of everlasting life. So,
and that's a good thing to, let's put that up front. Now, cops are out here, first responders are out here listening to us, and let's get the critical part up front. Because it's really not even upper sense, it's every class. It's not really even about religion. It's an existential question that everybody asks. Now, as a first responder, you see every terrible thing that happens. Your job is to go to the worst thing that happens. And he can't help but ask the question, why would a loving God allow these things to happen? And the answer to that question is really, really important. And you got to understand that we're not God's puppets. You know, a loving God would not be a helicopter parent hanging over you every minute of every day, protecting everything. God does intercede. He does answer prayer. But his greatest gift, don't curse God, but he doesn't answer prayer the way you think he should. Because his greatest gift is not less suffering, is not longer life, a few more years on this weary world. His greatest gift is eternity in heaven. And one person in eternity is infinitely more than all the lives on this planet put together. You understand, we got the finite number and the infinite number. And so God's view is on that infinite. And his greatest blessing is to bring us to the knowledge of salvation, what we should pray for and strive for and work for. It's not that our loved ones have a little less suffering, a little more time of this, where we should pray for them to come to the knowledge of eternity in heaven. And as hard-nosed cops, I'd like for us to take a look at the ultimate cold case. You know, we got a missing body homicide. Jesus Christ. Now, I'm stealing this, and I always give credit. All my books are just woven into, you know, you listen to these people, you see how they plagiarized. And, well, why did they do that? Just give credit where it's due, do you understand? And we got to give credit here, a guy named J. Werner Wallace. And he's got coldcasechristianity.com. Now, here's J. Werner Wallace. He's like a hardcore atheist, a cold case cop, a murder cop. And he was going to examine the life and death of Jesus from the perspective of a cold case. Isn't that fun? And he, as an atheist and a cop, he studied what happened, and he came away as a firm believer. And you cannot do anything else. So for me, the most important thing in the world, it really did happen. Not just that Jesus was born, that's the promise. But the great achievement was that he died and rose from the dead and came back to his disciples. And here's the proof. Here's the proof. All of the disciples, 11 out of 12 disciples, died for their faith. They didn't want to die, but the Romans gave them a choice between death and saying it didn't really happen. And they said, no, we're not going to say that. It really did happen. He really came back to us. Doubting Thomas touched the scars in his hand. It really happened. And men don't die for a lie. Then, here's the important part. The disciples' disciples were martyrs also. You understand that that's solid Roman history. You cannot deny it. Nobody could deny it. These are the people who watched the disciples die, and they died too. And the Romans were fascinated by this. They'd never seen anything like this. People were willing to die. All you do is say, oh, it's a big con job. Oh, we made it up. Oh, okay, you can live. Go on. But no. They invented these terrible, terrible murders of these Christians because they wanted them to say, no, it's all a big con job. And it's not. Men don't die for a lie. But here's the great thing. The martyrs won in the end. In the year 313, Constantine, the emperor of Rome, accepted Christianity as the religion of the Eastern Roman Empire. It lasted over 1,000 years. One of the longest lasting empires in 1,000 years from the 300s to the 1400s. 1,000 years of an empire, one of the greatest empires in history, the Eastern Roman Empire. And the foundation was their belief in God. And ultimately, the martyrs won. And God says, you know, these people keep dying. Maybe there's something going on here. That's the key point. Yeah.
We went to a cruise to the Mediterranean a few months ago. We went to the Colosseum. And one of the main entrance to the Colosseum, there's a big cross as you open up into that area. And what's not on the cross, but should be, is we won.
Yes, we won. Yeah, I want to show you something here.
It goes from killing all the Christians to we won.
Amen. Hey, this is one of my favorite things. I love the giving of a weapon. I got a little card we sell on the website about the giving of a weapon. It implies your confidence in the maturity of the receiver. It implies your desire for them to be safe and to protect others. And it implies your desire to make the world a better place by putting these tools in the hands of good people. But in the end, remember, you're the weapon. Everything else is just a tool. But this is the sword that the Roman carried. And this thing right here, this is called the Kairo. It's the first two letters of the name of Jesus in the Greek alphabet. And on their equipment, they wore this for 1,000 years as a symbol of the Roman Empire. And like you said, the martyrs won. We won. And ultimately, here's the key. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is the ultimate weapon, because the ultimate battle is not here on earth. The ultimate battle is in heaven. And here's what God said. If you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. Then here's the key now, the most important part of all. It's okay to ask for more faith. I don't think anybody, it's just 100% totally sold. There's always a little bit of doubt. And it's okay to ask for more faith. You know, the man came to Jesus asking that he would heal his child. And Jesus said, yeah. If you have enough faith, anything's possible. He said, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Boom, Jesus did what he asked him to do. All God wants to do is ask for more faith. Take your little seed of faith. There's people out there right now saying, I wish it was true. I wish there was a loving God. I wish there was eternity in heaven. Then identify that wish for what it is. It's a little seed of faith. And plant that seed of faith and ask for more faith. And faith is a choice. And you can choose to believe in eternity in heaven in a beautiful, beautiful possibility. So when we talk about peace on earth, there is no peace on earth. Well, how do you define peace? You know, nobody give you boobers and owies. Nobody hurt your little feelings. No, the ultimate peace is peace between us and God, that he will accept us into heaven. And it came because of Jesus. Now, all you cops out there, you can't badge your way into heaven. You understand?
That would be great if you could, but you're right. Yeah.
You got to play by God's rules. You understand? If there's a God, you got to play by his rules. And he says, the only way to get to heaven is through the Father, through the Son. And Jesus laid that foundation for us to have eternity in heaven. And if nothing ever comes from any one of these things we ever do, to have people say, you know, there might be something to it. And I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That what? Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, everlasting life. And so it all comes down to that key of believing, and it's okay to ask for more faith.
All right, guys, it's time for a commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back. And hey, we're talking about Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, as police officers, we all love to buy gear, right? And when you throw the online option, it's like limitless. But I want to remind everybody about what's really important here. When you're going to buy gear or really buy anything, support the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know if a company does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. Not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls.com. And for the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a coupon code in order to get 15% off your next order. That's good until the end of the year. Radio 15. So type in Radio 15 in order to get that 15% off on most purchases. And also they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. We're going to give away one today. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. And they have pants, tactical pants, Gauls.com. All right, guys, now we're going to be talking about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And, you know, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3, which stands for Conductor Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Try saying that fast 3 times. That's why they came out with CD3. And you know, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the glove. It's helped officers. It used to be tens of thousands of times. Now it's like hundreds of thousands of times with no injuries. And you heard that correctly. No injuries. The glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me. When it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions has ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you, ComplianTechnologies.com. You know, there are a lot of people that think it should be more complicated than that, Colonel. You know, my wife grew up a Catholic.
Yeah.
And when we started dating, we started going to church together. Now, she never read the Bible. She went to Mass and people told her what was said, but what to read. But she didn't read. Did not know any of the basic Bible stories, David and Goliath, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Jonah and the whale. Didn't know anything, but she was fascinated by reading the Bible. But the key point I guess I'm getting to is that when she finally understood what the plan of salvation was, because until then, she just said, you got to be a good person. You got to try to do good things. She did not know what the plan of salvation was, but when she heard it for the very first time and actually accepted Christ to be her savior, she had doubt, right? She had a hard time believing that. Is it that easy? Am I really saved? You know, and she needed some kind of affirmation that, you know, yes, you are, you know, and she eventually was confident in her stature as a Christian, and that he had her back. Basically, she knew where she was going to go when she died. But not an uncommon story, right?
You know, Chip. And this touched what Colonel said a while ago. The primary gift is a resurrection of Christ. The secondary gift is a free will.
Yes.
Where is the glory to God if you have to love Him? Where is the victory?
Have you ever heard, if you love something, let it go?
Yeah.
If it comes back as junior. Yeah. That's how much God loves us. He loves us enough to let us make our own decisions.
And wouldn't police work be a lot easier if everybody followed the two great commandments? Love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbor. We could go do something else. We go be carpenters or something. Amen. But in the meantime, those exercising free will to hurt other people, that's who we need to deal with. And that's why we need to become the warriors again.
Yes. God's faithful sheepdogs. You know? Hey, but also understand this, that God's given us free will. He's given us this gift. And our job is to use it in spiritual warfare. This is not our home. This is not our home. We are soldiers deployed to a war zone. When we die, we get to go home. And here's what I think death is going to be like. Now, I'm 68. I'm going to stay in the fight for another 20 years. Why do we stay in the fight? Because we love our God. We love our nation. We love our children. I got a grandson deployed to Kuwait right now. Wow. Because we love our children. We love our grandchildren. We love our God. Love means the worse it gets, the harder you fight. That's what love means. The worse it gets, the harder you fight. And things are bad. So we stay in the fight. And I hope to stay in the fight for another 20 years, doing what I do. I'm 68, God's preserved me, I'm doing good. But I think this is what death is going to look like. I'm an old paratrooper, and as a young 18-year-old kid, the coolest thing on the planet is jumping out of a plane in the dark, a night jump. And it's this existential trust as you hurl yourself into the darkness. It's the greatest adventure. Well, when we die, boom, there will be the greatest adventure of all. And we hurl ourselves. And there's a little nagging doubt says, is my chute really going to work? You know, is this really the right place to go? Now, listen. You can't jump without a chute. And Jesus is our chute, right? And you got to wait for the drum master to give you the green light. If you jump before that, you're not going to like where you land. Do you understand? But hurl yourself into the darkness as an act of faith. That's what it could be like to die. And there's a little bit of me that's really looking forward to it, just a little bit. And of course, it's always that. See, that's what makes it such a thrill, jumping on that plane, because you really aren't 100% sure it's going to work. You know, and that's what it's going to be like to die. And what a beautiful thing to not live in fear of death, to even live a little bit in anticipation of the great adventure that's coming in the fullness of time. You know? That's what it means to be a Christian.
You know, I've had people, you know, my life argue about Jesus and his rising. And I said, what's the worst that happens if I'm wrong?
Yes.
What's the worst that happens? I try to live a good life. I failed a lot, but I tried to help people. Sometimes I failed, but I tried to do, what's the worst that'll happen? You know, you made a difference. I made a difference here on earth rather than saying, no, it's not going to happen. So therefore I'm just going to live like an animal. So what's the worst? Now, if they're wrong, oh, that's going to be all bad.
They lose everything. And we win. If we're wrong, we lose nothing. If we're right, we gain everything. And here's the deal now. The largest religion on the planet is Christianity. With billions of believers, the largest religion. Now, these folks over there, those folks over there, we're not too sure about them. But they're under the umbrella of Christ. And it's the largest. And if you've got a God that you found on a rock somewhere, and only you and a few other people know him, well, your God's not much of a God. My God would be in every hotel room in the land. My God would have his temples in every city in the land. You wouldn't have to look for God under a rock. He'd be right there for you. And our mission, you mentioned it, Brett, is to love God and love people. So we should pray and ask for two things. Ask for more faith and ask for more love. God is love. Our love flows from him. So my wife was part of the pray-in party that brought me to the knowledge of salvation. Pretty girls have brought more people to the Lord than almost anything else out there.
Nothing wrong with that.
Amen. And so when we talk about this, we prayer, God says, whenever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. So when more than one person prays, it has extra mojo. And my wife is my prayer partner. And every night we hold hands. When I'm away, we talk over the phone and we hold hands and we pray for each other. And there's two things we need to pray for. is more faith and more love. And we pray for all of our loved ones, but most of all, what we pray for them is that they come to the knowledge of salvation in eternity in heaven. That's the most important thing to pray for. We hold everything up in prayer, but that's the core. Pray for more faith and pray for more love, and pray that your loved ones will come to the knowledge of salvation in eternity in heaven.
Yeah, my dad accepted the Lord hours before he died.
Praise God.
Now, I think he was a believer before, but we weren't terribly sure, right? Just, you know, he didn't go to church. You know, mom and the kids went. But he was on his deathbed. He knew it, and he accepted. And so, you know, just like the thief on the cross, you know, you don't wait. Try not to wait till the last minute. But if that ends up, you're still pretty good. Still pretty good. Going back to your story about the centurion who said, you know, you don't even have to go to my house. And that story reminds me, because that guy was an authority figure. He understood that there was somebody else in charge. Okay? And as cops, we all feel that. We are the authority, and we always know there's somebody else in charge. So that's one of my most favorite stories, is the guy that had the least in the fight as a Roman had the most faith. He said, you don't even have to show up, man. Just say it, because I'm a boss. I tell that guy to go, and he goes. I understand authority, so just say the word, and it was done. And Jesus really, really was in that moment. He said, your faith is like no other.
And you know, the worst lie out there is that you can't be a soldier, you can't be a cop, and be a Christian. That's the worst lie out there. You know, that thou shalt not kill is really a weak translation, grossly out of context. That you shall not murder. Every cop understands the difference between lawful use of deadly force and murder. And God has honored those who fight for righteousness. He says, Saul has killed his thousands, David has killed his tens of thousands. And David was a man after God's own heart. And so it is not just acceptable, it is desirable and appropriate for you to be to carry deadly force on your hip and to go forth and to do good deeds. And God honors that. And so all of those above and beyond, you understand that you can't badge your way into heaven, but there is a special place in God's heart for his sheepdogs.
You're willing to lay down your life for your brother. That's the biggest thing. Jesus laid down his life for his brother. So,
and Jesus said, greater love is no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friends. So what manner of love is this, that men and women will die for strangers? What manner of love is this? The men and women will walk out that door and put their life on the line for people they never even met. But hear that verse another time. Greater love is no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friends. But there are many ways to lay down your life. There are many ways to love. Sometimes the greatest love is not to sacrifice your life, but to live a life of sacrifice. And that's what our first responders are doing. And Will Rogers, a wise man in the mid-1900s, Will Rogers said, you know, if you get to think you're a man of some importance, try telling another man's dog what to do. Now, if you ever did that, the dog could look at it. If the dog could talk, here's what he'd say. I don't know much. I'm just a dog. I know this. I'm not your dog. And when the evil one comes to you, you look in the eye and you tell him, I'm not your dog. He cannot take your eternity. He can take your life. Ultimately, the life is going to go, but he cannot take your eternity. That's why the helmet of salvation is so important.
All right, guys, it's time for a commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer, which means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of the primo stuff. And their M5 AR 308 platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less. When you can have the best, head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. And welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com.
One of the defining moments of my career was attending your course. This is way back here in Tampa at Hillsborough Community College. And as an instructor, I can tell you that if your students are still listening at 1 minute till five, you're doing a really, really good job.
Yeah.
You know,
and you know, the book you've got.
Yeah, I've got that one too on combat.
Yeah, that one too. You know, that won the Ukraine Book of the Year Award.
And this one, we need to get that back out there.
You know,
what we got is we pretty much replaced it with this one. This is a much more current, much more important information.
Oh, okay.
And shoot me an email, I'll get you a copy. I know the author, man. I'll get it signed for you.
You better do a screenshot of that, right? Right, you better do a screenshot because your memory is, we both know how good your memory is. You better do a screenshot is what I'm thinking.
You know, but my dad always said the memory was the second thing to go.
Yeah.
You know.
And I can't remember the first one.
In talking about death, you brought up a really good point. And I'm going back from memory. I was reading one of your books. It was either on killing or on hunting. It may have been on hunting, but I believe you were telling a story about being on a ranch or a farm, and there was the killing process of an animal, and you and another kid were there, and you kind of got schooled by, was it your father, because you guys were like maybe cracking some jokes or not reverencing the how precious life is. Is that, am I getting that right? And
well, you know, it's on killing, and we begin. It's actually a narrative by Garrison Keillor.
Okay.
You ever heard of a Radio Home Companion? You know, Garrison Keillor. He did, and he did a narrative, and I transcribed that narrative and got his permission to use it, and he went through and edited it. So I mean, Garrison Keillor is one of the great people of our time, and I've got that with his hand editing and his permission to use it. So it begins with that. It's such a powerful narrative, and it's cool that you remembered it as coming from me. It's pretty cool.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But that idea,
I was going to say it helped when I lost my dad, who was 67 years old at the time. So pretty young. And I'm sorry, 76, but still young. But as a Christian, I got to admit the human side of us, I wouldn't say it tests your faith, but you know, the human component of this, look, you get emotional, you cry, you miss your parents, but when I was up talking at the funeral and I had a captive audience, because you know the only time we're getting some people in church is maybe a wedding or a funeral, right? So I made sure that everybody there knew what the plan of salvation was, and I just told people what calm and peace I have with the passing of my dad, because I know where he is and I know whose presence he's in, and I know I'm going to see him again. So it's not a farewell. And I've seen people smarter than me try to, you know, a lot of people as humans, we have a hard time grasping on to the concept of eternal life. Really, what is that? I mean, we have clocks and time. That's something that God invented, you know, the concept of time. And someone took a line on a chalkboard just trying to simulate eternal life. And they made it from one end of the board to the other that simulated eternal life. And they said, now put on there something that represents your life down here on earth. Put in something, a marker. And it would be such a minuscule dot, you wouldn't even be able to see it, right? And that's the closest thing I've come to be able to try to grasp onto the concept of really what eternal life amounts to. And it just makes losing family, friends, and then of course dealing with death as you're a kid and stuff, animals and pets and stuff, which I think is so important to help inoculate children into dealing with that. But yeah, right along with what you're saying, it makes sense now.
And that's kind of the wrap up on all of that you know, what we pray for and understanding that eternity in heaven. And when I tell all my groups, I say, if you're a person of faith, then you will not be pulled down by the things of this world. Then we know. And I talk about survivor guilt. Survivor guilt is not PTSD. It's grieving. It's loss. It's hard, but it's normal. I'm telling you, in the normal cycle of life, we will all bury our parents. Anything more normal, parents talk about their children, but it's hard. It's hard. It's one of the hardest things we'll ever do. Does it destroy us? No. I think we're a little bit wiser people when we lost our parents. Would our parents want us to be destroyed? No. And in these violent times, anything more normal, some of our comrades would pay the ultimate price. Does it destroy us? Because if it did, you've given that criminal another victory. You lost a brother and you let that take you down. You've just given that criminal another victory. Would they want to be destroyed? No. So if you were the one to die, you're dead. Everybody you love is left behind. What do you want for them? the fullest, richest, best life they can have. The troops lived and fought and died to give them. Now your comrades did. What do they want for you? The same thing. The fullest, richest, best life you can have. And that means right now, and this is important, to dedicate ourselves to live that full, rich life. And I ask everybody, and this is important, to say, can we all agree nobody takes your life without one heck of a fight? Give me a sea of head nods out there. Nobody takes your life without a fight. Nobody takes your life, including you, without a fight. Tell yourself right now, I will fight for my life. I will seek counseling. I will get medication. I will leave no rock unturned. I will fight for my life like I would fight for my child's life. But no one takes my life, including me, without a fight. We lose more cops to suicide than every other line of duty death put together. And we got to come back to that. Don't let the things of this world pull you down. This is not our home. We're soldiers deployed to a war zone. And if you're a person of faith, you can take that big picture of eternity and not let the little things of this world pull you down. And that's what we have. That's the superpower that we have is love. Empathy is love in action. Empathy says, what if my family trapped in that burning building? What if my father lay in there needing CPR? What if my child been assaulted? What if my spouse had been raped? That's empathy. Empathy is love with the shoes on. What's our job on earth? To love God and love people. And so the empathy is that tool that makes it possible. But it, we apply it. If you're the one to die, what would you want for your family and your loved ones? Well, the same thing is what we should be striving for. So but you know, I'd like to talk to you. I thought about ahead of time. Well, can we mention a couple of Christmases that were really special to us? And I got two. You guys, can I start off with a couple?
Oh, you better. Absolutely.
I was in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I think it might have been 1962. My dad was a cop on duty on Christmas Day. And all of our friends had Christmas. And then we had Christmas the next day. And my mom and dad told me that dad was busy keeping everybody safe on Christmas Day so they could have their Christmas. And this is our Christmas. And it was special. I mean, as we celebrate this on Christmas Day, take just a minute to honor everybody who's out there, all the first responders who's out there putting on the line for us this day, who will not be home with their family today, and recognize what a sacrifice that is. And yet, what a beautiful thing it was when the family realizes my mommy, my daddy is out there today so they can have Christmas and be safe. Beautiful thing. The other one, I was a young infantry captain, and we put all of the Christmas gifts in the store, in the storage place, right? With the gate and the wire, right?
Wait, Colonel, so you are a lowly captain like what Brett is right now, right?
Big difference, big difference. But I on Christmas Eve, I went to get the Christmas presents, and it was locked and shut down. I couldn't get to our Christmas presents. So what I did that night, I came and crawled over the fence, and they got, you know, the barbed wire comes out, you know, with the little, and I crawled over the fence, and I crawled over the barbed wire. I dropped myself on the other side, went to the storage shed, got all of the Christmas presents, put them in a big bag, crawled back up the other side of the fence, dropped them over the other side, crawled over the barbed wire, came back the other way, and I thought, Christmas is coming today, and a stinking barbed wire fence cannot stop me. That's kind of my two favorite Christmas stories. What do y'all got? Give us a Christmas story.
Well, I remember a Christmas when I was in Marine Corps at Camp Lejeune, back when I was a E5 sergeant, I think it was. We were on air alert, and back then, air alert meant your bags were packed and ready to go. You know, the trucks are all weighed, everything's marked, center, you are ready to go. And we had a short Christmas that year because we didn't know, but we were all home. We didn't miss that Christmas, but just that realization that any second now, headquarters would get that call, then they said, drive to the C-141s and go. Yeah. And so we're celebrating. Yeah. When I had two of my kids at Camp Lejeune, so we're celebrating Christmas there. Yeah. And just knowing that, you know, my bags are packed, it's ready to go. All you have to do is call me and I'll go, because that's what you do.
Send me, follow me. Jesus said, follow me over 30 times in the Bible. Yep. And that's the leadership motto, isn't it?
Yeah, follow he never me. Leveraged his godness as authority, never.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Colonel, and I don't have any My Christmas stories couldn't hold a candle to yours. They involve around, you know, family. You know, I really miss my dad, but you know, I love candlelight church services where you have a congregation singing together in a cappella without instrumental music.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. I find that so moving. It's like I'm, you know, it's like you're looking around waiting for the rapture to happen, right? I mean, you feel like you get caught up in the moment. Colonel, why do you think it is that, I mean, we've all heard the saying, there's no atheists in foxholes. Why do you think, I did a radio, we were doing a show with you, and we were talking about a spiritual component in the show. And I think that you were talking about your book on spiritual warfare. And I had an owner of a radio station come in and ask me about the content, about what we were talking about. And I tried to explain to him that a lot of law enforcement officers being exposed and seeing the things that they see and that they're exposed to that no human should ever have to see and be exposed to, there is a tendency to believe in God and to rely on that strength to get through the day, through the job. And so I was curious, you see and have touch with many more people than we do. And this is really what you've done in psychology and stuff. How do you explain that?
Well, you know, I'll tell you from kind of a scientific perspective, because what I teach, what I call the bulletproof mind, and it's resiliency. And resiliency is being taught around the world. And resiliency is people who do not get PTSD. And we study people who do not get PTSD. Now, it's really important to understand that after a traumatic event, in all the symptoms of PTSD, it is not PTSD until it lasts at least a month. Or it's normal. You know, we experience an event, we have nightmares, or something triggers the memory. That's normal. It's only when it lasts at least a month we say, okay, now we have an abnormal response. But when we talk about this business of treating PTSD and re-experiencing the event, And the goal we have is to try to separate the memory from the emotions. And we use like that big swig of water, the powerful tool. You re-experience the event, you stop, take a big swig of water, right. Separate the memory from the emotions. Take that sympathetic nervous system back under control. So I tell you all that to lay a foundation then for people who do not get PTSD in the heart of the matter. One of the men we study is a man named Viktor Frankl. In a Nazi death camp, wrote some important books. And he said, he walked out of a human skeleton, walking out of unthinkable evil, and did not have PTSD. I mean, upstairs, he was just fine. And he said, I realized the only thing the universe, those Nazis couldn't control, is how I choose to respond. That's the heart of it. The only thing the universe can control is how you choose to respond. No, you don't lose your temper, you give it away. You know, that's easy to say, and so easy to do. But the first step in understanding that is identify the things you can't control and let go of them. Sound familiar? The Serenity Prayer, right? Lord, help me identify the things I can and can't, and the wisdom to do know the difference. And it's basic stoicism. It's completely compatible with Christianity. But here's the thing. Faith is one of the pillars of resiliency around the planet because you have that higher power to hand things over to. And the things of this world are so much easier to deal with when you've got the creator of this world on your side and to hand things over to him.
All right, guys, it's time for a commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and attorney Ken Appianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and Gunlearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you have your own agency, if you're a chief or a sheriff, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com.
For all the things that you can't control, there's nothing in the universe you can control except yourself. And if we give way to bitterness, if we give way to cynicism or complacency or denial, that's the one thing we can control. You give the world a victory with your own hand. So again, that comes back to why faith is one of the pillars of resiliency. Now, we know the one true faith. We know the faith that is proven in this amazing fashion by the disciples who died for their faith and their disciples who died. To this very day, we have thousands of people around the planet dying for their faith. It's interesting to watch do an online search for martyrs and see the current day martyrs in places like Turkey and Pakistan and across the Middle East. Thousands of people die for their faith right now. And that is the most powerful proof. People don't die for a lie. Do you understand? And so that brings us back around to the one true faith. Faith is a pillar of resiliency, but it's awful good when you got a faith that you have solid foundation. And our God is a God of our fathers, a God that laid this nation, the foundation of this nation. But in the end, everybody dies. Every nation falls. In the end, our son will die. But eternity continues. So that's why that pillar of faith, that faith is one of the pillars of resiliency from a scientific perspective. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. If there was going to be a Christian and Christmas message that you had the opportunity to deliver to, at least by radio, 10% of the U.S. population, yeah, and not to mention the 1.5 streamers that we currently have, what would it be?
All right. It really, we talk about peace on earth. And Jesus brought peace on earth. You know, before Jesus, C.S. Lewis said it was always winter and never Christmas. That's what it was before Jesus. Always winter and never Christmas. And Jesus brought peace on earth, but we got to understand that it's not peace here on earth. It's peace with God and eternity in heaven. And so when we say peace on earth, we're talking about peace between man and God. And that's what Jesus did. And that's the most beautiful and powerful and important thing in the universe is eternity in heaven. The largest religion on the planet with billions of people, martyrs across the generations, proof of our salvation. There's no other religion even comes close to being where this is. And that's what Jesus really means. That's what Christmas really means, is eternity in heaven and the greatest gift that anybody could ever give.
So Colonel, unless you have something, Brett, I have a request for you, and I'm going to spring, I'm going to spring this on you, but I don't think you're going to mind. So we've got, people that are going to be watching this Christmas special, and there is a component involved where some of these guys are going to be military. We have, military police. They're going to be active duty. They're going to be away from their families. And we certainly are going to have law enforcement officers as well. They're going to be active, maybe firefighters as well. They're going to be away from their families and away from their loved ones, making the sacrifice, kind of like in the example that you told me you grew up with your father being, in law enforcement and working on Christmas Day. So I was going to ask you, and I don't know if you've done this before on a program like this, but I was going to ask you if you would say a prayer with them. So when they're watching this show and they're active duty and away from their family and friends, if you wouldn't mind leading them and us in a prayer to kind of close out the show.
Praise God. I would love to. And I tell you that my little office here, I got two amazing ladies who keep me out of trouble. I just give honor and joy to God for Robin and Jill and my wife. And every morning, the four of us start the day in prayer. And we hold our day up, and we hold our families up, we hold our nation up. But it's so important that we pray. And I want to give you a case study, make this come alive. It's in my book on spiritual combat. An old Texas pastor told me this story. There's the Korean War, and an American unit had launched an attack on enemy hilltop position, and they'd been defeated and driven back down to the base of the hill. Partway up the hill is an American soldier in a little depression, bleeding out his life, crying out in pain, crying for help. At the base of the hill, a young American soldier looks at his watch and does nothing. Another soldier scrambles up the hill and is gunned down with with withering fire. The soldier at the base of the hill looks at the watch again, does nothing. Another American soldier scrambles up the hill to rescue his friend, his gun down. Behind the gap, the base of the hill looks at the watch one more time, takes a deep breath, and scrambles up the hill. Just withering fire, in fear and exertion, he grabs his friend and they roll and tumble and scramble down to the base of the hill and the trenches and safety of the base of the hill, and the medics come to treat the wounded man, and the commander walked up and said, "That's the bravest thing I've ever seen." He said, "No, sir, it wasn't really." I said, "What do you mean? Two men just died trying to rescue that man." He said, "Sir, you don't understand. I know my grandmother in Chicago goes to bed every night at 9 o'clock in the nose and prays for me. I was waiting for 9 o'clock Chicago time." To understand the ultimate weapon, the ultimate tool, the ultimate instrument of spiritual warfare is prayer. Understand that. Don't lose track of that. And the grandmother on her knees, praying for her son around the planet to be one of the most powerful forces on the planet. Now remember, God won't always answer the prayer the way you think he should. The greatest gift he can give is eternity in heaven. And all the suffering on this world is nothing, nothing, nothing compared to eternity in heaven. So understand the power of prayer and understand that we have the ability through Jesus Christ to go directly to the creator of this world. So when we talk about spiritual warfare, it's guerrilla warfare. You see, there's no structured chain of command. Otherwise, you take out the leader, but there's little cells. See, each church is a little cell in guerrilla warfare, see, because the prince of this world is Satan. But we're under the authority of God operating in enemy territory. And each one of us has the power to come straight to the creator of the universe. When we talk about Ephesians chapter 6, the full armor of God, we talk about the belt of truth and the feet shod with the readiness of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. But the final, and then the sword of the Spirit. But the final weapon is prayer. Prayer is our radio. Prayer is our radio. I'm an infantry soldier in the battlefield, and all I got's what I carry on my back. That ain't much. You get on the radio, you've got a Marine, you got a soldier, you get on the radio and you call in a medevac, call in an airstrike, call in artillery fire. That radio is the primary weapon on the battlefield. And so let us come to the creator of the universe in prayer through the blood of Jesus Christ. If we don't know him, then our prayers don't go past the ceiling. But once we've given our lives to him, we say, "God, I believe, help my unbelief. And give me more love and give me more faith." So let's say that prayer now. Dear Lord, thank you for this nation that we're privileged to live in, where we can worship in peace and where we can experience prosperity. Thank you, Lord, for our families. Thank you for the men and women who are out there right now spending their Christmas away from their loved ones so that we can be safe, that we can live in peace, that our military, our first responders out there, God, we praise you and we thank you for every one of them who's away from their family, their loved ones right now, preparing for that moment that they may be needed. We thank you, Lord, for your son who came out of this earth to die and rose from the dead. And the disciples saw it, and the disciples knew that Jesus came back from the dead and he was real. And he ate with them and he talked with them, and doubting Thomas touched the wound in his side. It really did happen. And they died. We thank you that they were willing to die to say, "It's not a lie, it really happened." And then the disciples of the disciples, and this is straight up Roman history, Lord, we thank you for them, because they too laid down their life to say, "Look, it's real, it really did happen." And we thank you, ultimately, the martyrs won, and they were triumphant, and the Roman Empire became the Byzantine Empire for over 1,000 years. Christianity was their primary instrument of faith throughout their great empire. We thank you for the great past behind us. We thank you for the awesome future of eternity that lies before us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we take everything that's dear to us, our families, our nation, our endeavors, our lives, and we give them back to you, Lord, knowing that only you can truly protect them and only you can truly bless them. And we thank you on this day for the birth of your son, the Savior, who died on a cross that we may live eternally. All these things we hold up to you in thanks and in love and in prayer and in Jesus' holy name. Amen, amen.
All right, guys, I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And they also have that special Guitars for Cops going for $1,000. You not only get a really cool-looking guitar, but you also get it signed by one of your favorite country music artists. All you have to do is go to the guitars, the number 4, cops.com. So check that out. And I donate to the Wounded Blue monthly. And the nice thing is they're an organization that's not going to embarrass you. So donate and check out to the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Great.
Hey, you know what?
Great show, Colonel.
Anybody watching this, see me pray with my eyes open. We've done a lot of school safety seminars, church safety seminars. We tell them to pray with your eyes open. You know, it's okay to pray with your head down, your eyes bowed. But when Gideon selected his 300 for the host of Israel, he stuck my head, their head up, and their eyes open. I trained the Secret Service. When the president's praying, does the Secret Service have their head bowed and their eyes closed? No. I am my family's Secret Service. And so anybody watching and say, what's Grossman doing? Prayed his head up and his eyes open. It's okay. God didn't say you had to close your eyes. And in many ways, those who have their eyes open, and God's up there. Jesus looked up there and said, Lazarus, come out. And so God's up there, and it's okay to pray with your eyes open, because I am my family's Secret Service. And each of you out there listening, you mighty sheepdogs, may God protect your families and empower you to protect everything that's dear and precious, your families, your cities, your nation. In Jesus Christ, we pray.
Fantastic show. I think that people are going to, I think this will resonate with people, and especially at the Christmas holidays. I wish you and Captain Bartlett the very best and Merry Christmas. And I'm glad that we all here understand the true meaning of Christmas. And now our audience does as well. So what a great opportunity.
Merry Christmas.
God bless you. Merry Christmas. God bless you. God bless America. Merry Christmas.
And again, I hope you guys enjoyed our Christmas special with Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman and Captain Brett Bartlett. I hope you guys really enjoyed it. Also, Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, and Gauls is having all kinds of sales right now, guys. Gunlearn.com, Medicare.life, SafeguardRecruiting.com, Two Bells, and FisherOrlandoBass.com. We'll look for you guys back on the next weekly day at 12 noon Eastern.